Renewable Kerry on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Renewable Energy Ireland. Energy powered by nature.
Yeah, Renewable Kerry, we're going to be talking this morning on the issue of district energy and how it works in terms of the renewable package that's out there, whether it's solar, wind, offshore or onshore, and other issues as well. With me on the line to talk this week on the slot is Pauline O'Reilly, who's CEO of the representative body for district heating in Ireland, the Irish District Heating and the Irish District Energy Association. Pauline, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. Pleasure.
Tell me, first of all, district energy, what is it and how does it work?
Yeah, well, it's a new concept to a lot of people in Ireland. And there's a good reason for that, because we have so little of it. We're actually the bottom of the league table from a European perspective. Really what it is you have a centralised boiler for heating and you'd have a neighbourhood connected to that central boiler instead of everybody having an individual one in their individual buildings. So it's much more efficient, and it also, instead of importing sources of fuel, it's local sources of fuel. So it could be electricity from a local source like geothermal or an air source heat pump, or it could be waste heat from a data centre, from industrial facility, or it could be something like biomass, which is wood chip. And that's really what it is. And, you know, at the moment, we're all having to be experts in our own boilers. Really, we don't do that for electricity. We take the electricity from outside our house and use it. But we actually all have our own boilers, which is kind of a crazy situation.
Effectively, so, it should be one boiler amongst, or a super boiler amongst quite a number of houses and properties for efficiency.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's also a space saver. It's something that means it doesn't need to be maintained on every single property. If something goes out, it goes out in one place and it's fixed in one place. And we think of the storms we've had, instead of everybody's boiler going down, you then have and everybody's pumps going down, you actually have to fix it in one location. Now, it kind of starts with big users like hospitals, like schools, universities, things like that, and then it kind of goes out from there. So you fill in the blanks in between. You've got apartment blocks, you've got social housing units, and that's what we'd love to see on a much larger scale. And actually it's in the Kerry County Development Plan to support district heating, yeah. And it's in our national climate action plan, because it's the best and most efficient way to start using renewable or waste sources of heat. And we actually have over 90% of our heat in Ireland is from fossil fuels, which is why we have these crazy fluctuations in prices.
Yeah.
We're reliant
really,
on...
It's really biting us at the moment, that's for sure, with the current crisis that's happening. Now, we're not strangers to it in Kerry, even though we're at an incredibly low level of it. 20 years ago, in Tralee, a plan was developed. I think it was finished around 2011. This was a four-year implementation plan for the Tralee district heating area. This is in Mitchell's Crescent in Tralee. It was part of the rejuvenation of a place that had become quite run down, and district heating was put in place and it's working quite well.
I know, exactly. So it's great, and it's very rarely spoken about, you know, that actually we have things already operating in Ireland on a really small level. Now, it's still not using it to the extent that it could be used, but these are the kinds of projects that are demonstrators. They're kind of pilots, and you know, there's lots of apartment blocks, library using it in Tralee, so it's and it uses wood chip, so again it's local sources of heat, rather than saying, come on, let's import loads of oil, let's import loads of gas, and then if there's some kind of global disaster, we're all at the mercies of this global market. And if you look at somewhere like Sweden, they decided when there was a crash, you know, and the oil crisis in the 80s and 70s and 80s, what they decided to do was invest heavily in district heating. And that's what's kind of brought them through a lot of these kind of fluctuations. So we should be taking a leaf out of Tralee's book, and any kind of town really can use district heating. So, you know, yes, we have a rural population across, I'm from the west of Ireland myself, we have a rural population, but we also have really, you know, fairly big settlements as well that could be using these systems.
And the idea is you've got the different source of energy that can source, let's say, the huge boilers that are, you've got a number of options that can fuel, can heat water and heat the properties all grouped together, thereby, you know, helping with decarbonisation.
Yeah, it's a kind of plug and play. You know, if you imagine your house that has radiators in it, and at the moment you've got your own boiler in your house, instead of having your own boiler, you've got water coming in from outside your house to heat your radiator. So you don't need to do any changes from that perspective. But it's definitely where we kind of see Ireland starting. And as you say, we're not quite starting because we do have some small projects, but where we kind of see it going next is using it in big places like hospitals. There's a planning permission in now for one in the east side of Galway, for instance, a fairly large one that would use it in the university there. Likewise, there's opportunities in every single county across the country. So it's kind of an exciting time because for the first time ever now, the Irish government is putting some money behind it. So so there was a huge amount of interest when they put out a call for expressions of interest for funding. And we'll see what comes from that in the coming weeks and months.
Is it the sort of situation, Polly, where you might have an entire housing estate, or is it a more urban thing? Or as you said, let's say hospital campuses and other campuses that would be more appropriate for the hoped expansion of district heating schemes and their use?
Yeah, I think really you kind of have to look at it from the point of view, if you're putting in a fairly big bit of infrastructure, and how is it going to be the most economically efficient to start that? And yeah, also you're going to have users that are using it kind of in the day and in the night time, and that's why you have these big hospitals. Prisons would be another big one that are looking at using it. And but you also have housing estates. So Tralee is an example there. Talla in Dublin is also an example where there's social housing unit, apartment block, and then there's also the local library, and the next stop then is the hospital. That's phase two in Talla District Hospital. So the exact same thing can be done in Kerry. But you're right, you know, you're not talking about individual houses. You are talking about like centres of activity, and that they're going to use it kind of most efficiently. But the great thing is that we have so many sources of heat just completely underutilised in Ireland. There's enough fuel there, even from just waste heat alone, that could heat every single building in the country, and none of it is being used at the moment.
Yeah, so there's more options than just wood chip or wood pellets to fuel these district heating central hubs.
Yeah, exactly. And so Tralee went with wood chip. There'll be other places that went are going to go with part wood chip and part other things. But you could use geothermal, which some of the universities are looking at doing. You could use air source heat pumps. That's just like having an electric pump in your house, but having it on a much larger scale. But the big one, of course, for Ireland is the massive amount of data centre industry that we have. And all of that has enough waste heat that could heat, as I say, every single building in the country. And at the moment, it's just going, the waste heat is just going up into the atmosphere or into our rivers. And why not harness that? And that's exactly what Talla has done. It's right beside the Amazon data centre there in Talla. And it uses all of that excess heat.
So the heat
through water
from the huge supercomputers and the central processing units that they generate when they're operating is used then to provide the heat for everything else.
For apartment block, social housing unit, for the library, for some of the county council buildings, and for TU Dublin, Technical University of Dublin. And it's still at a small scale. We would see that as a very small scale. But the next phase, which is getting funding now, is for Talla District Hospital. So it's a really exciting opportunity. And we know that, particularly if you look at Dublin, 50% of the electricity in Dublin is going to data centres. What are we getting back from that? That's what we have to ask. flask, you know, and if there's an opportunity, why not use it? Wastewater treatment plants are another example. All of our counties have that.
And they can be utilised and used. Is there a policy in place now, or should there be a policy in place in terms of giving, and we're seeing already decisions being made to pause data centres in terms of the amount of electricity that's being used by them versus the amount of electricity being used elsewhere on the grid. I know the grid's being modernised as well, but is there a policy that could be put in place into planning saying, yes, you're allowed to build this data centre, but you have to have as part of that a partnership to provide the waste heat and use that elsewhere in the community?
Yeah, and that's where we would see things moving in the future. Yes, at the moment, the policy does talk about district heating for data centres, but it's not making it mandatory, the current government policy, but it is making some other parts mandatory, for example, on the electricity and providing your own sources of electricity for data centres, the new ones that are coming in. But, obviously we need a little bit of build-up of district heating in order for it to be viable for them to do it as well, because you have to have the users as well. So I think, you know, we're probably a little bit away from making it mandatory. But later this year, we will see a piece of legislation coming in, and that is for district heating, specifically for district heating, for licensing to have a utility that would regulate district heating. So it's all moving in that direction, but we just need to make sure we keep a steady course now, because there's so much opportunity.
Yeah, there certainly is. And you think the money will be there from government to support these projects because it's the direction of travel? They want more district heating as part of the overall energy mix.
Yeah, look, we did push quite hard to get an amount of money that is relatively modest, but it enables these projects to get the planning permission. And then there's a larger pot of funding and a new SEAI grant coming into place at the start of next year, specifically for district heating. So, you know, you can get SEAI grants for individual heat pumps, but you can't at the moment for district heating. And that is creating this lack of a level playing field. So that money is now being ring fenced for district heating. And we will see some large projects go through as a result of that. But we would love to see that money increased so that more people can benefit from it, because I think it is only by seeing somebody's project, seeing how it's working and seeing which of the bits that maybe need to be improved, that we will we'll see these projects take off.
Okay, well, listen, Pauline, thanks so much for talking to us about it here and the need for expanding it across the county and across the country. That's Pauline O'Reilly there, CEO of the Irish District Energy Association. We have one example here in Kerry and Tralee of it. We need more of it, and that's exactly how it works. If you have a view on that, any comments, keep them coming in to us. We'll get to those next week on The Stop. And my thanks to Pauline on the programme, and as if to emphasise the need for it, the price of a barrel of oil is up 3.8% today, $105, as Iran has rejected the peace proposals from the United States. So it continues.